Hello, welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host for another episode. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week, and we get to know our guest, or guests, but this time it's just a guest. It is episode 112 of the Weekly Cooldown. It is December 18th. We are so close to the end of the year. Can you taste it? It's like in the air.
What does it taste like?
Uncertainty. We are going to get into the headlines for this week, and then we are going to get into, you know, the rest of the show, and then you'll figure out who that mystery voice was. So, without further ado, let's get started. Last week, we spoke about Twitch's announced changes to its hateful conduct and harassment policy. The policy, which takes effect in January, would ban certain unwelcome comments to, on attractiveness or explicit comments about sexuality or appearance, as well as sending unwanted links that include nude images or videos. The policy is also expanding on hateful remarks, emotes, or emojis and symbols related to caste, color, and immigration status, as well as black and brown face. During a town hall this week on Twitch looked to clarify some of those policy changes, including the use of words like simp. According to Twitch COO Sarah Clemens, the use of words like simp, incel, or virgin as an insult would no longer be allowed under the new policy, as an insult. Some have pointed out that words like simp have evolved and does not have much to do with a sexual connotation to begin with, and others like incel have been used as a self-descriptor rather than as an insult. Again, these policies are set to take effect in January. Cyberpunk 2077 has had some serious launch issues, which means that it also had some monetary issues. In addition to offering refunds specifically for the base versions of the game for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, the developers of the game, CD Projekt Red, has seen both plummeting stocks and a hit to their net worth. A report from Bloomberg shows that the founders of CD Projekt Red have cut the value of their joint stake by $1 billion since the game's release last week, down from $3 billion. Despite the game's first being announced for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, the poor performance on those consoles seems to account for a potential drop over this next 12 months for sales of the game, according to analysts. During a conference call, CD Projekt Red did admit openly that they did not spend enough time on the last-gen versions, as they did with PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X. But they did say that there are to be improvements to the game to get it in a much better shape. During the Video Game Awards last week, we got a look at several new video games coming possibly next year, or at least over the next few years. Among those was Ark 2, starring Vin Diesel. Since then, news has come out that Vin Diesel is not just the face of the game, he is also Studio Wildcard's president of Creative Convergence and the executive producer of Ark 2. Apparently, Vin Diesel is a longtime Ark player, who would have guessed, and has even been involved in helping to develop some of the game and announce some bug fixes for Ark Survival Evolved.
Fucking nerd. So I'll go back to silence. I just wanted to just put that out there.
That's fair. Though there is not yet a release date for Ark 2, we do know that it is coming in 2022. Vin Diesel's character is named Santiago, and he is the 24th century mech pilot, gearhead, and freedom fighter. And finally, Fortnite's most recent limited time mode, The Spy Within Us, turns Fortnite into Among Us? The new mode pits 8 agents against 2 spies, for which each player has a task and will earn gold coins. Earn enough coins and or find the spies and the agents win. Or, if the spies eliminate all the agents, the spies win. Players can call meetings whenever suspicious things happen and determine who the spy is over voice calls, which sounds a lot alike to Among Us. It's very clearly taking some cues from Among Us, but hidden identity games seem to be more popular than ever at the moment, made fairly clear by Among Us winning awards at the Game Awards last week. The Spy Within mode on Fortnite has begun as of December 15th and will be available for a limited time. And those are just some of the headlines this week. Again, as always, if you have other headlines you want to talk about, other stories that I'm not touching on today, always tweet at me at ComedyJaceGaming or at WKCooldown, and we will talk about it. We will talk all about it. Friends, you kind of know this voice if you listen to the greatest gaming game show ever, in which he was a contestant.
And very naked.
That is true. They're very naked. It's you know, it's not something I've experienced before, but I gotta say it was fun for me. Please welcome Charles.
Hello. I've got a script here. It says, "Friends say hello. Hi, friends. More banter. Sometimes give you more banter."
Absolutely. And you can give us that banter by telling us what have you been playing this week?
Cyberpunk. I have been balls deep in that world. There's a lot of dicks in that game.
See, I haven't encountered many, so I'm kind of upset.
What?
I've only seen my own.
Well, okay. I'm talking. Yeah, you're right. There's a severe lack of nudity within the game. I feel
that they told me that I was gonna see.
Right.
And it's not there.
Right. And on multiple occasions where I'm like, oh, I'm gonna see my own penis. Right. It just like it's almost there, but it doesn't like actually show it.
It's
so the only time that you see it is like in the inventory screen.
Not that I'm advocating for anyone to put like full on hardcore porn in their video games, but it's softcore porn.
Right, right. So, but I did swim to the bottom of the ocean.
Oh.
And went into a church underneath the water, and there was a spiky dildo on one of the pews. So there's a lot of
developer just put that there.
Yeah. Somebody's just like, that this goes here.
This goes here. I've seen the like the sex shops have them, but like why is it in the church? Is there like a mission down there? Why did you go to the bottom of the ocean?
Is my question. There is a later game.
Okay.
Mission.
Spoilers.
It's not like a main mission. It's definitely a side quest, but it's kind of a major side quest.
Okay.
But it is kind of a spoiler. So but you do end up underwater. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that's gonna scare the crap out of me. But all right, I guess we're going swimming. Well, that's cool. That's cool. We've all, I'm sure there's a lot of us playing Cyberpunk right now. What are some thoughts you have aside from there's a lot of dicks in it?
It's good. It's more enjoy. I have spent more time and have enjoyed it more than Valhalla. I spent a lot of time in Valhalla.
Okay.
And it got super repetitive, and this game also is very repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the storylines are more enjoyable, so I am enjoying my time with it a little bit more, but it's still very, very repetitive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think there's something we have yet to quite admit, and it is that Cyberpunk is like so many other games out there. Like, you know, the first that comes to mind is like Deus Ex or something like that. There's already so many games that are like Cyberpunk that I think we expected something more than what we have. But despite that, it's still a pretty decent piece to add to that genre.
Yeah, I feel comfortable saying that, you know, that $60 that I spent on it was worthwhile, especially with my Stadia pre-order bonuses.
Okay.
No. We could go there eventually.
We will go there.
But it's enjoyable. I've had a really good time. There's been multiple moments where I've felt like excited, and I'm 50 hours in at this point, and I'm finally deciding to do the final quest. And yeah.
I feel like I must be hard to please if that's the case. I like the game. I just have, I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit more critical of it because of how closely I've watched, like, their pre-production, their, the kind of marketing they did. And I don't know. I have so many things to say, and I will say them in a review that I plan on doing on this very feed.
Ooh.
Eventually, right. Probably next week.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing, right? There's it's enjoyable. I enjoy it, but there are some serious issues with it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the AI is absolute garbage. Like, hilariously bad.
Yes.
For instance, every single car scene, not all of them, I would say maybe like 75% of them, though, where I sit in a car with somebody and they talk, the driver just like accidentally hits somebody and just like topples over them and then can't get over them. And they're stuck in this one spot and they try to just push through and they can't. And it just, it freezes there. Luckily, they have that skip ride option.
Thank goodness.
But it just, yeah.
I've had so many different issues with driving. Like, as in one mission in particular, we are driving into like an enemy lair or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I fail the mission.
Was it the one? Okay. It's the one where you're in the cave.
Yes.
Right? And then you get back in the car and then you're inside the other person, right?
Yes. That is exactly what happened.
Same thing has happened to me.
I'm so glad.
It's happened to me so many times. And I'm like, God damn it. I am like inside this woman right now.
I thought it was like a fluke. And I was like, oh, teehee, one little bug. But then I lost again and it kept happening. And I was like, there's something wrong here. There's something very wrong here.
These are big issues. And for a game that has been in development for
nearly a decade.
I mean, like, most of it is obvious, like world building and stuff like that, and you know, story building. And it really shows, like, their world building is insane. Storylines are fucking incredible. Even like stupid side quests are like, there's great, like, I found random Jesus Man. Have you experienced the Jesus Man quest?
I have not.
Oh my god, you just like hang out with a prisoner who thinks he's basically the next coming of Christ, and you just go on an adventure with this guy and his marketing advisor, basically.
Okay.
It's crazy. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will certainly return to that, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Over the next couple of months to years, Cyberpunk has become quite a controversial game, in more ways than one. So I'm sure we will return to that. On that note, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with the rest of the show.
What do cannibals, secret codes, and scientists, sex wizards all have in common? They are all topics we've covered in episodes of Strangeful Things. We bring you a new story every week and do our best to turn you on to things you might not have heard before.
We'll still hit the big topic sometimes too, but we'll always shoot to bring you a fresh perspective and our own special recipe of inappropriate jokes no matter what we cover. From true crime to cryptids to conspiracies, we'll tell you stories about stuff that's weird, gross, scary, and neat, sometimes all at once.
That's why we had to invent the word strangeful. See, Murder, Bigfoot, Ghostnet, Inslaw Things is a terrible show name. Oh, and the show is not for kids and definitely not safe for work, unless the place you work at is super chill and cool.
To subscribe, visit StrangefulThings.com or search for Strangeful Things on your podcast platform of choice. That's Strangeful Things, making weird shit fun to hear.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. So, we've got two stories this week. One dealing with the aforementioned Stadia. Actually, it's kind of two rolled into one. So, to begin, there's two big deal stories for Stadia this week. making it look a little bit more attractive. The first story, Ubisoft's game subscription service now supports Google Stadia for free, that is Ubisoft Plus, meaning that you can now find a large variety of Ubisoft's library on Google Stadia as well. The subscription service, again, Ubisoft Plus, costs $14.99 a month and offers access to first-party Ubisoft games, including their latest releases, Assassin's Creed Valhalla and Watch Dogs Legions, meaning that you can have, rather, if you have proper access to Stadia, you can now play more recent and more demanding Ubisoft games without a powerful PC. Additionally, in more news, Stadia has come to the iOS and apparently plays very well on iPhones and iPads. This now expands the amount of places you can use Google's cloud-based game streaming service. So, to those of you who can use Stadia and who have a good time doing so, you now have one more place you can get them and access to more games. So that's always good news. As you know, if you've ever listened to me talk about any Google Stadia news, I'm incredibly skeptical of the service. And that has only been made more apparent in recent weeks.
I made you try it and it failed miserably.
I don't know what's wrong. Okay. I pay for good internet.
Right. Is your computer hooked up via... I'm troubleshooting with you on your goddamn podcast. But I think that is a very honest point. There shouldn't have to be like a set of troubleshooting methods to get you to play games decent on Stadia, especially if you already have a decent internet connection.
Yes.
And it could be that you're just too far away from a Google center, right?
That's kind of what I think it might be. Mm-hmm. Because I got my PS5. I'm a console boy now. Mm-hmm. And
which
I decided
I am going to I am pissed. I am PO'd.
PO'd.
I tried to get a PS5 today on Walmart, and it sold out via bots before the buttons to buy it live.
That's
which
interesting.
Basically it got sold and then I refreshed it again and then it was said it was not available, and then the buttons actually showed up to buy it, and it said, oh sorry, it's not available.
Oh, I see what's happening.
Garbage. Yeah, garbage.
They were saying that they combated the bots and won, but I didn't know it was not a great victory. I apologize.
Yeah. Sold out 3 seconds. 3 seconds it was gone.
I believe it. I tried on Walmart and it wasn't very good. But so I'm a PlayStation 5 boy. I have my PS5. Mm-hmm. And I tried PS Now on the PlayStation 5 and it worked very well. And I thought, okay, well, hold on. Let's take it to the PC, see how it works there, because Stadia wasn't working previously. Mm-hmm. And then I tried it and it worked near perfect. It had one hiccup, but the rest of the time I played for about an hour, it was fine. So I'm not sure what the difference is between Sony's streaming program and Google's streaming program.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking maybe I need to do more tests and I need to do Amazon's program,
right,
and some others to see why Google hates me.
Right. Yeah. And I've done a bit of testing to just like services and stuff like that, because I really feel that cloud gaming is a potential market for people who can't afford a PS5, because it's still fucking $400 for the base model.
Right.
And that's a lot more than some people can afford. So I feel like services like Google Stadia can really kind of jump into that market. But
yes,
if it's not working for people, which it's worked pretty well for me, but if it's not working for people, that is something that needs to be solved.
And I wonder, how can I put it? I think that Google kind of is doing what Amazon did in its infancy, mm-hmm. Where it's kind of trying to push into a market that was kind of already there.
Right.
And maybe it might not make much revenue to begin with or to start out, but they're buying up things and trying to acquire as much as they can. Mm-hmm. So that, I guess, once they do have the infrastructure they need, they'll have a ready to go library that is larger than life at that point.
They bought the developer who did the Journey to the whatever planet.
I wish I could remember what that one was called.
The weird Metroidvania style game. I played it for a bit and I kind of lost interest. But yeah, they bought that developer, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. They have the, you know, they, I think they have the means, but yeah, they're just kind of slow rolling on delivering it to, first of all, the United States and then eventually the rest of the world.
Right. And I mean, like, I think what was really good for them was having it not, like, having Cyberpunk run like absolute garbage on PS4 and sure, Xbox One, having it run well. And I mean, like, it's not amazing looking. It's still, it's especially if you're like in like driving through the city and there's a lot of effects going on, it can sometimes look like a PS2 game.
Sure.
But like for the, like the character models are really like everything's snappy. It loads real quick. And I feel like that was really good for Stadia showing like, hey, you know what? We actually have a game that works better than those other guys. Right. And I think that was good for them. So.
Exactly. Yes. Good point. Good point. Well, Stadia, you ain't sold me yet, but we'll get there.
I'm almost there. I think I like it. It's nice being able to like get really. I'm in Colorado, so it's legal. I smoke weed. I don't know if that's appropriate for this show.
If you can say that internationally.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. The federal agent listening to the show. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, cut that shit out.
But like, it's nice to be able to like play games like on my TV and then be able to like turn it onto my phone and then like play, you know, fucking Cyberpunk on my phone. Mm-hmm. Wherever I could play it with any 4G connection. Like that, it runs great.
That is one thing I will say though, by the way. I played Sniper Elite 4, that was my test game for Stadia, over the PC, which is Ethernet connected. I have the cable in there, everything, over on the PC, and it did not work. But I played it on my phone over Wi-Fi, and it ran like a dream. So I don't know what that's about, but maybe it's well suited for like nice Wi-Fi or 4G connections over like wired Ethernet connections where you may be using the wired connection with other people in your house.
Interesting.
Who knows? Only Google.
Only Google knows.
Frank Google knows. That's his name.
Oh, we have another story. What was the other story?
Well, that was that you can now play on iOS. Or did you mean our next
one? The next one on the list of things. I was helping you with what we call a segue.
You're
like, oh, hey,
man,
keep the podcast rolling.
Keep the goes goings. You got it. Well, let's get on to that next story, as you say, because it's weird. So last week, a story came out that a 6-year-old Call of Duty Warzone streamer had been banned from the game by Activision.
What?
Rowdy Rogan is the name of the young streamer. Rogan's online presence is managed by his father, who tweeted the night of the ban, quote, "As some of you know, Rogan was banned from Warzone last night on stream. The team and us are currently trying to handle the situation and will keep you guys updated. Thank you for all the support," end quote. And he ended the tweet with the hashtag Free Rogan. Gamers took to Twitter to throw Activision some not-so-great comments and got the hashtag to trend. Now, this week, we are learning that the situation was faked. As it turns out, the FaZe Clan Esports organization was holding a competition known as the FaZe 5 competition, in which competitors had to, quote, "try and make content go viral." As it turns out, the entire family was in on the attempt to get Rogan into the next phase, no pun intended, of this competition.
Okay, that makes more sense, because there's a lot of plot holes right at the beginning of that story. And
the funniest thing is that multiple outlets who were reporting on this seem to note that, like, the only way people found out about the stream was through a Twitch clip, not through, like, a live stream portion, mm-hmm. like it's an archived stream. And then the parents were acting really suspicious and not great actors at all. And Rogan was like fake crying and all that stuff. And so it was already sketchy to begin with, but it did get a lot of attention from like Polygon and Dexardo.
Of course.
And I mean, the most people were doing was saying a 6-year-old is banned
playing fucking Warzone.
Right. And so a lot of people were really upset with Activision, but Activision knew nothing about it. Turns out it was all a ruse, as they say.
As it should be.
Yes.
I actually would appreciate a 6-year-old yelling curse words into a microphone playing Warzone and absolutely wrecking people. That would be the best part.
That's the thing. Apparently he's very good at the game. You know, takes the competition to most of the adults who are playing this game, teenagers alike. But I mean, the idea that that's where your mind goes. I think it's really pervasive that their parents, by the way, would get in on this ruse and try to kind of prop up their son as this esports legend at 6 years old. Because it's just kind of, there's nothing, how can I put it? There haven't been very good stories about people who are in esports, right? They are saying N-words, they're sexist, they are predators, this, that, and the other.
Maybe the 6-year-old kid is all of those. Maybe he's like super racist and super sexist.
I don't want to imagine that.
You never know.
You never know.
It wouldn't be surprising.
I don't want to.
Or know. Maybe it would be very surprising.
It would be extremely surprising. But I mean, in that way, I thought of it like, do we do this in other industries? And of course we do. There's like child models and child actors and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's not really any different than anything else, I guess, but in a way it is. I mean, to try and to make your son go through this kind of like X Factor, like, competition so that he could eventually join an esports league. With a bunch of other adults, it doesn't, I don't know, something about it doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of that YouTube kid, Ryan, I think is his name, the one who is like the biggest watch YouTuber, period. He has like millions of followers. His parents make millions and millions of dollars a year, right? Off of this like 7-year-old kid unboxing shit. And it just, it feels so gross because you're like this kid, like most people who are on YouTube are doing it as a job. And now these parents are forcing their kid and they're probably telling them, oh, you know, you get to open up toys and just have fun. But it's abusing that relationship for financial gain.
Yeah.
And that's icky.
And not only that, but I like think about the way that kids come out of being like child actors and stuff like that. It's not always the best thing for them, right?
They
don't always come out.
Unless you're Macaulay Culkin, he's the only one who has come out of this like an actual human being, which is the weirdest shit.
He's had some ups and some downs, but he's come out on top for sure. Yes. But I don't know. It doesn't seem right. Let's see. Harry Drew is the father's name. He said it has been Rogan's dream to make FaZe. I didn't know who FaZe was a year and a half ago. I'm a fan of FaZe now because of how they treated my son. Rogan's mother insists that it was fun for Rogan. It was a whole family process, but they didn't take it seriously. She also says that the world isn't ready for young gamers like they are for young sports, young football players, young golfers.
Fuck off.
We're not here yet. That's what we keep hearing. The world's not there yet. So she believes that with Rogan going through what he's gone through, this opens up the gate for young gamers.
That's gross. That's really gross. Especially, like, LA, I understand that, like, mature games are... I am fine with parents deciding when their kids are allowed to play video games, yes. Right? Especially mature games.
Yes.
But at 6 years old, being so, like, accustomed to violence like that...
Sure.
Like,
it's also one thing completely to be allowed to, like, consume the media,
mm-hmm.
and then there's another thing to, like, consume the media for money.
Right. And, like, think about
clout.
Think about, like, fucking FaZe Clan, right? Like, what if their, like, drama shit have been? It's been, like, beating each other up at bars, right? Getting into fights, sleeping with each other's girlfriends and shit.
Oppressive and predatory conflicts.
Yeah, getting gross shit, too. And they're like, my kid really likes FaZe Clan. It's just like, does he? Like, you think your child actually cares about the FaZe?
Well, that's where I think I have to give it to Rogan. Maybe he does. The amount of people I know with kids who say, yeah, all he does is watch YouTube. I bet he knows exactly who these people are.
Yeah.
But what you don't get to do as a 6-year-old is get the context between these people as esports athletes, as they were,
mm-hmm.
or as people, as humans. I mean, you also probably don't know that one of them has been banned for cheating on Fortnite, or one of them has, like, said slurs on camera. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you don't get that stuff. You get what you see through their curated YouTube channel or their curated Twitch channel. I don't know. It all feels real weird. I will say I think the mother has a slight point. I think that if there was, like, a esports little league, that would be cool, but to the extent that you
what are, would they fucking play Roblox?
I don't know. I know plenty of kids that play Fortnite. They can
all yeah play okay that. Yeah, I'm like playing it on the phone. Among Us Fortnite is really good. I was making a dumb joke, but you're absolutely right. I am children can play Roblox. Video games probably better than I can.
I'd probably suck at Warzone against this kid. I'd probably be terrible.
Let's email. You should have the Rogan family on the next week's episode.
Talk to you about. Maybe I will. That sounds great. Give that a try. As I'm slightly roasting them over an open flame here.
This is not roasting. If they want to be, like, roasted. You're not roasting them. You're critiquing. You're being very positive. I'm the one who's shitting all this.
Well, I do think that there could be, like, a, you know, kids play esports thing, and you give them a monetary prize, and that's cool. But the idea that, I mean, FaZe Clan, for the most part, they, like, live in houses together and all that stuff. You're gonna do this with your 6-year-old? You're gonna put your 6-year-old through this? You can't. I don't think you can. I actually think it might be illegal to do that. So, like, I think you have to rethink giving your child that much freedom. And I hate to say that, honestly,
mm-hmm.
because kids gotta be kids. But, like, the streaming and the Twitter curating and all that stuff, at some point you gotta chill, at least until he's, like, 13. Like, give it a few years
before
you start with all that. Any last words for Rogan and his goddamn family?
hashtag free Rogan.
I hate that so much.
That's so good. I remember when that went viral, I saw that on Twitter, and I was like, what the fuck did Joe Rogan do this time? And I didn't look into it any for, like, at all. And I was like, oh my God, Joe Rogan and Spotify are having a fight. And I'm over here just like, I'm like, okay, fine. And now I learned it's about a 6-year-old who plays Modern Warfare, Warzone.
I almost wish it was about Joe Rogan.
What if Joe Rogan was a big fan of FaZe Clan? And Joe Rogan's parents were making him go viral, and he got banned on Twitch for playing Warzone. I would not
put it past any of those people to do any of those things. Mm-hmm. Joe Rogan and the Experience Warzone edition. So those are our stories for today. We are going to now wrap up the show. And as we move along toward the end of the show, we always ask that you, the guest, give them, the listeners, a recommendation. What game should they be playing or be on the lookout for?
I mean, the only thing that I've really been playing is Cyberpunk. I would say, let's see. What else? Hades is fucking incredible. If you're not, if you haven't played Hades, please support, you know, not AAA creators, and support this game because it is awesome.
Absolutely. What am I gonna recommend you people this week? Probably Final Fantasy 14. I recommend it a lot on this show, but I think that now is a good time to get into it. We are soon to be, not soon to be, but maybe in the next couple of months, we are soon to be getting, information on the next expansion. We will be wrapping up the current expansion over the next couple of months. So it's a good time to get into it, before the next, big chapter of the whole thing begins. So yeah, play Final Fantasy 14 and play Hades. That being said, we must finally put the dagger in the heart of this episode. Please let us know where you can be found on the internet and if you have anything else to plug.
Rolling Misadventures is pretty dope.
I've heard that.
You've been on the show. Did we have a sex scene? I don't think you and I had a sex scene.
We came very close.
Very close. I mean, yeah, that's for the sequel episode. there's also, so Rolling Misadventures is great, but honestly, I run a podcast network called Loudspeaker, where we have a bunch of LGBTQIA plus artists, people of color, you know, women. We focus on minority communities, underserved communities, and we have a lot of great shows. We have almost 20 original shows as of right now, and are consistently growing. And yeah, it's if you're in need of any kind of podcast, we've got it, and it's good quality stuff. I was about to say shit, but stuff. Shit.
Perfect. All right. Well, as always, you can find me at Kami Jace Gaming on Twitter, and you can find the what is the name of my show? You can find the Weekly Cooldown as well on Twitter at WK Cooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page, I guess. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review or comment on Apple Podcasts. Please, you have to do it if you've listened to the show before. It's the rules. I don't make
them. It's legal. By law, you have to.
By law. American law. And Australian law. Yep. I want to be big in Australia. or you could also leave a review on Podchaser. That also helps the show. So be sure to do those two things. Be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. You can support your favorite charities and support the show. Our logo and art is done by Corgian of Doghouse Esports.
Corgi? Did I hear Corgi?
You did hear Corgi.
I have a Corgi.
Follow Corgian at Doghouse Corgian on Twitter. DoghouseEcorgian is how you spell that Twitter account. Our intro music is done by Zach Breiter of Captive Portal. That's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I'm Kami Jace.
I'm Charles, I think.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.